Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your participation. Today, I'm going to talk about artificial seed production and cryopreservation. In each hour, tree plant species are we are losing tree plant species, and we are losing almost 20,000 to 50,000 plant species per year. So it's better to think about, it's better to rethink about the preservation strategies. In germplasm conservation, more than 100,000 plant species are currently threatened and face extinction in the wild. 8,500 plant species were added in the red list of threatened species during just only 8 years. 60% of plants in the list classified as critically endangered. So it's very important, it's very crucial to implement some strategies, technology to actually preserve endangered species. I'm showing you some information about different threatened plants in some countries. In Australia, we have 6% of the plants which is identified threatened species. In Brazil, 1%, China, 13%, Germany, 27%, South Africa, 13%, US, 32%, and Vietnam, 3%. When we talk about the genetic resources, we have different strategies. One of them is in situ conservation. The other one is ex situ conservation. And we have the combination of these two strategies too. The in situ conservation is mostly preserving the plant material inside their natural habitat, such as botanic gardens. The ex situ conservation is actually conserving their conserving the plant material outside their natural habitat, and like the seed banks. And most importantly, you've seen too many seed banks, which is only for the crops and for their wild relatives for breeding stuff. But we haven't heard that much about the horticulture seed banks. Maybe because in horticulture, mostly we are not using the seed as a for propagation. It has some limitations in the in terms of field germplasm. We may need a very large space, and we need too many labor, and also we cannot have all the plant species in the field. So, and also in addition to that, we have too many natural disaster and or like flood, like diseases. We are coming from Oklahoma. We have tornado there, and you may lose all the things there. And so, in this regard, biotechnology offers two methods for the conservation. One of them is in vitro culture, and the other one is cryopreservation. In vitro culture requires a small space. And because it's going to help, it's going to be done in the lab, so we can control too many factors in there. But we have to remember that in vitro culture, we can have only short and medium term of storage. And you know that for tissue culturing, we have to do the subculturing. We have to transfer our plant material into the new media. And this may happen the somoclonal variation or mutation, which is not desired for us as a plant as a tissue culturist. So, as I said, there is a genetic instability in the process of subculturing. The subculturing somoclonal variation may happen by using some hormones like 2,4-D. Some papers reported that 2,4-D is going to cause a high percent of somoclonal variation. So we are trying to use the other combinations of hormones such as NAA plus IAA and the other things to overcome this problem. And also the number of subculturing is very important. For example, oil palm, after 3 subcultures, the somoclonal variation would be around 80-85%, which is not desired at all. Because especially for ornamental plants, we are looking for actually it's unique characteristics such as flower, such as color or fragrance of the flowers. So in this regard, we are losing our we may lose our desired characteristics. As I said, we have two methods for storage. One of them is short and medium term of storage, which led to the synthetic seed production, and the other one is the long term of storage, which has led to cryopreservation. The most important thing in the synthetic seed production is to transform all the plant material to the encapsulating agent. So we can use different source of material such as calluses, somatic embryos, shoot tips for producing synthetic seeds. And we are trying to have the same function as the normal seed has. So the encapsulation procedure is a very famous in food science. Every day you go to the pharmacy, you would see a new capsule released, and some of them are releasing fast, and some of them are known as a better one. So we are almost using the same strategy for the encapsulation procedure. But let me talk about the long-term preservation or cryopreservation. Cryopreservation is the only method that we can use our plant, that we can preserve our plant material alive in ultra-low temperature, minus 196 degrees Celsius. And it has too many benefits. We don't need that much of space. We just need a small cryo tank, which can preserve thousands of genotypes there. Or in that low ultra temperature, minus 196 degrees Celsius, there is no virus that can be alive because so there is no contamination there. And there is no genetic alteration. There are some studies that they compare the genetic material before and after cryopreservation, and they haven't observed any mutation. And that's the only method to conserve of desiccation-sensitive seeds. Let me tell you something. I just want to speak about that and let you know that we don't have cryopreservation is not only for the plants, but for human and animals. What's cryonics? It's low temperature preservation of human and animals. Cannot be sustained by contemporary medicine. Not reversible with current technologies. People who are considered dead by current legal medicine definition may not necessarily be dead. There are some private companies in Russia, in Netherlands, in Arizona, that they are doing this method. So after the body is dead, the family wants to have their parents or whatever. They want to keep that body, so they are giving the body to these private companies, and they are actually replacing. They are taking out all the bloods, and they're replacing that with the cryoprotectants, which later I will mention that. So they hope that someday be recovered by using highly advanced technology. So and there is some papers on that too, because they are thinking to replace the brain cells with the nanogold material. So after death, the body, the other parts are alive for a while, and they are thinking to replace that. So I'm just giving you some examples of the cryopreservation. Also, we have the chromosome cryopreservation and oocyte cryopreservation, which use the vitrification technology. But in plants, we have different ways of cryopreservation. One of them is encapsulation, dehydration, vitrification, encapsulation, vitrification, dehydration, pre-growth, pre-growth, dehydration, and droplet freezing. We are choosing each one of them based on the plant material, the explant size, and the sensitivity of the plant. For example, it's different when we are cryopreserved seeds versus calluses or somatic embryos. So we have to choose the best method based on our explant. So I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a rough idea about the encapsulation dehydration procedure. It starts with the pretreatment. We are using some high saturated sucrose media or hormones. It could be PGRs. And we are doing the encapsulation procedure. And this encapsulation procedure, we are using sodium alginate and calcium chloride with different concentration. It's not the normal thing for all the species. It's different. So we have to adjust it. We have to establish this concentration. And after the encapsulation, we are doing the pre-culture. Again, we are doing we are putting our explants, our beads, actually, after forming the. Let me speak about the encapsulation procedure. We are putting all the explants, such as, for example, somatic embryo, in the sodium alginate, different concentration of sodium alginate. And after taking out the sodium alginate, we are dropping that somatic embryos into the calcium chloride. Due to the exchange of the ions of sodium and calcium, you would see that the beads will form. And this is the encapsulation procedure. And after that, after pre-culture, we are do the desiccation. We just try to take out the water as much as we can until the plant cells are alive. That's a very crucial step of the cryopreservation. We cannot exceed the dehydration procedure because assume that a callus or somatic embryo with only 3 or 4 millimeter is very sensitive, and we cannot. It's very crucial to stop the dehydration stage at a perfect time. And we can use laminar L4 or silica gel in this regard, and then we have freezing and thawing. After putting all the materials inside the cryotank, if you put our material in 1 hour in the cryotank, it's equal to 100 years in the in outside. So if we could cryopreserve our plant material inside the cryotank, and after 1 hour, we can assume that the viability after 100 years, if they kept outside, is going to be the same. So and after that, we are using TTC and servo-arrayed after 2 weeks to see the viability of our plant material. But I was talking about the taking out the bloods and putting some cryoprotectants. What is cryoprotectant? There are chemical mixtures are applied during cryopreservation to avoid intracellular ice crystal formation or prevent injury result from excessive dehydration. Cryoprotectants are mostly useful but can also be harmful. Because when you apply some chemical to the 3 or 4 millimeter organs, I mean, that's very sensitive. We cannot use everything on that because they are, it may kill them. So we have to know which what is our plant material actually. What is the action of cryoprotectants? They displace intracellular freezer water, fill the entire cellular space, and protect it against cell collapse. We have different types because if we don't have time, I don't want to go through it, but it's based on the permeability in the water. So we have some cryoprotectants that rapidly pass through cell wall, and some of them were slowly passing the cell wall. In conclusion, establishing the suitable concentration and combination of encapsulating agents to keep plant material alive and maintain their viability for short and medium term of storage is crucial, and cryopreservation protocols that are effective for diverse species or cultivars are needed for conservation program and gene banking. Thank you so much for your time.
Any questions for Dr. Amir?
Yes. Sorry, Dr. Powell.
How long do you see the procedure to become more commercially used or more easily used in a large scale?
Well, thank you for your question. Well, the most important thing is the first part, which is the synthesis production, is already commercialized. By some private companies in different countries. They are trying to sell the encapsulating or synthetic seeds on some medicinal plant and some expensive ornamentals. Because the process of synthetic seed is like pausing the bottom in the plant growth. For example, there are some species that producing the somatic embryo, it take maybe 2 years, some woody plants, and also some orchids, like Phalaenopsis, it take 1.5 years. So in this regard, we are trying to encapsulate the somatic embryo after 1 year, and we can save the time, and we can sell that synthetic seeds to the grower. So it saves the time. But in the case of the cryopreservation, there are some private companies too, but mostly because the budgets in the government, not only in U.S., in everywhere. It's very limited, unfortunately, in plant conservation. We don't have that much of funding in this regard. Most of the budget is going for the conservation of animals, not for the plants. So that's the main issue that we have in terms of the preservation. But there are some private companies, especially in the fungi, I mean edible mushroom, there are just three companies in all over the world that they produce, I mean, the span of the edible mushroom. So there are some companies.
Thank you.